And I just want to say I am so grateful for God giving me Wilson. I am so grateful to God. I feel I found a brother. And, you know, I feel I found a brother in Wilson. He's embarrassed himself now. Let's just embarrass everybody this morning, shall we? But I feel I found a brother in it. And it's a heart thing. It's a heart thing. And, you know, Wilson and Vivian are joining the church. And so they're going to be, they've already done the DNA course. So when we welcome people into membership, it's going to be joined. But also, they're going to bring their skills to our church, all of our church, not just Sindersham, all of our church. And I'm so excited about that because they have experience. They have experience of being part of multiple congregations, which is what we want to be. And so they're going to bring that experience and help the whole church. Can we just thank them? Give them a clap. We really. Well, Janet embarrassed me. Now I can embarrass you. Okay, if you have your Bibles, please turn to 2 Kings. Second Kings chapter 4, and I'm reading from verse 8. Now, it's really interesting. When I sent the notes to Wilson yesterday so that he could interpret, I felt God say, you've got to encourage the church to prepare for the season he's bringing us into. And this morning at the prayer meeting, and it was so good to see all of you online at the prayer meeting. Maybe next Sunday, okay? Online at the prayer meeting, it's really important because if this church wants to see God do great things in our lives, then we must be a people of prayer. We must be a people of prayer. We don't come to God for handouts. We're not beggars. We're sons and daughters. And that means we build our relationship with our Father. So the prayer meeting is one of those important places where we build with God. And I want to say, because it's online, you can all be at it. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. Just turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. Okay? I know it's probably not the culture, but look at your neighbor. Let's start from there. Okay? Every single one of us should be at a prayer meeting. It starts at 9 o'clock, and it's a real joy to be there because we want to see God move in our families, in our work, in our church, in our communities. And the place where all of those things happen is, as with Jesus, on our knees before God. Amen? So I'm so looking forward to seeing all of you at the prayer meeting next week. So we're moving into a season where God is changing everything. And some of you are now beginning to settle. You've landed. And then the minute you land, God changes everything for you all over again. And you think, everything's changing again. Why is everything changing? Well, you see, where God is moving, he is constantly growing. Wherever God touches, there's life about it. It's always got to keep on growing. So you look at plants, you look at trees. Even though they're stationary, rooted in one place, they continue to grow. God wants you to continue to grow. God doesn't want you standing still. God doesn't want you becoming stagnant in your spiritual life. God wants you to keep on growing as a Christian, a follower of Jesus, a Christian who loves the Lord and commits everything to him who is worthy to be praised. So 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 8. One day, Elisha went to Shunem, and a well-to-do woman was there who urged him to stay for a meal. So whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. She said to her husband, "I know that this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. Let us make a small room on the roof and put in it a bed and a table, a chair and a lamp for him. Then he can stay there whenever he comes to us." One day, when Elisha came, he went up to his room and laid down there. He said to his servant Gehazi, "Call this Shunammite." So he called her, and she stood before him. Elisha said to him, "Tell her, you have gone to all this trouble for us. Now, what can be done for you? Can we speak on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army?" She replied, "I have a home among my own people." "What can be done for her?" Elisha asked. Gehazi said, "She has no son, and her husband is old. She has no son, and her husband is old. The season that this woman was living in was a complicated season. It was a season of barrenness in the womb. She didn't have a child. Certainly her husband, the scripture is implying that her husband was too old to be able to give her a son. And so she lived in a season of barrenness. But you know, there's something about her that stands out. She's still generous towards God. Even though she doesn't have what she wants, her heart towards God is generosity. "Oh, look, here comes a man of God. Come and have a meal. Here comes a man of God. Stay in my home. Eat my food. Here's a man of God. I'll make a room for you. I'll create a place for you." Why? Just because you're a man of God. Just because you serve the Lord. And this woman was generous towards God in her heart. I pray that when the Holy Spirit shines his lamp upon you, you will be found to be generous towards God. That you will be found to be somebody whose heart is open to God and willing to give to him everything he's blessed you with. Well, she is old, and she has no son, and her husband is old. Then Elijah said, "Call her." So he called her, and she stood in the doorway. About this time next year, Elisha said, "You will hold a son in your arms." You know, there's something about the season we're in which speaks prophetically. Every season has a voice. Every season wants to speak to you, to encourage you to understand what you need to do to benefit from that season. Every season. It may be a season where you're reduced. You can't see your family. You can't be with your family. You're reduced. You're cut back. You can't even work because the government won't allow you to get a job. It might be a season of reduction where you have to just stand there because you have nothing. But if in your heart you're generous towards God, I tell you something, God will speak through that season to you. And when you hear the voice of God speaking into your heart, it's always prophetic. It's always about what is to come. Every season is like this. So in winter time, and when we look at natural seasons, when we look at wintertime is a time when people light fires. It's a time when traveling is difficult. In winter, it's cold. Many of you came over and you felt the cold immediately. And it was like, "This is so cold. If I knew it was this cold, I'd have stayed in Hong Kong." it was so cold, and it was like, how do you stay warm? And it was, we were thinking, it's not very cold, but many people felt it was cold. Winter is a time when it's difficult to move. You have to light fires. You have to stir yourself. You have to, if you're going to prepare for winter, you have to get warm clothing. You have to make sure before you go out that you're well-dressed, that you're dressed appropriately. Every season has its own clothing, its own attire, the things you've got to wear to be able to navigate that season, every season. And so in winter, you wear warm clothes. In summer, of course, what do you wear? In summer, you wear nice light clothes. You don't wear many dark clothes because you get hot, so you wear the right clothes. Summertime is a time of great joy for many, many people. It's a period of intense heat. So in the winter it's cold, but in the summer it's hot. It's hot, and people love to lie in the sun and soak up its rays, and that's when many people take their holidays. It's also interesting, summertime is also very often a time when nations go to war. It's a time when nations pick battles with one another, because winter time is a bad time to go to fight. You have to take many more provisions just to keep the army fed and warm. Summertime is an interesting time because it's a time when things, the harvest begins to come in, and you have to store things in barns and keep things in barns. And also spring. Springtime is a fascinating time. Springtime is when everything, all the flowers start to pop up and everything starts to look green again. Every season speaks about what is to come. Even in the natural, even just natural seasons, they prophesy what's about to happen. So the minute you enter into spring, you know there's going to be flowers budding everywhere. It prophesies. It speaks to the context that you're in. And so God wants to speak to you. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. Just as there are natural seasons, there are seasons in every one of our lives. Every one of us has got a season of life. And it says here in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1, there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. You see, Job puts it this way. Job says that a person's days are determined. You have decreed the numbers of his days, of his months, and have set limits he cannot exceed. Even the span of your life is a season that God has determined. And so we understand each one of us will one day meet our Maker. Each one of us will one day return to the one who gave us life. I think it's important to understand that these seasons of life all prophesy. Like the Shunammite woman who heard the man of God speak to her and tell her, this time next year you will have a son. God wants to speak to you and tell you in the season of life you're in what he wants to do for you, what he wants to do with you. God wants you to know his plan for your life. God wants you to know what's coming. What parent keeps their children in the dark? when it's anything good? What parent hides their plans from their children? The only thing you protect your children from are bad things. But everything good you want them to know and you want them to have. So when you're going through a difficult season, like when you're not allowed to work because the government says you have to be in the country for a year before you can work. But what do? If you're wise, you keep focused on the Lord. If you're wise, you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. If you're wise, you wait on the Lord. How many times did Elisha go to that woman's house before she heard God's word spoken to her? How many times? How many meals did she make for him before God spoke to her? How many meals? How much did she invest in the welfare of a complete stranger before the stranger turned around and spoke God's word into her heart? Some of us, we walk with God a little bit. God, I'm walking with you. Do something. Do it now. You've not done it yet. Do it, God. Do it. Why haven't you done it? I'm not walking with God anymore. Some of us, we turn our back on God because things get difficult and things get hard. Because things are not easy, we turn away from God. We rebel against God. But you see, rebellion against God will get you nowhere. At the end of the day, God will have his way, and God's word will be set forth, and God's word will come to pass. You need to learn to walk with God through the pain, through the difficulty. When the man of God said to her, "What can I do for you? What can I do for you?" She didn't put her trust in the man of God. She didn't suddenly say, what would you do if Boris Johnson stood here and Boris Johnson said, "What can I do for you?" What would you ask him for? Bill Gates. If Bill Gates was standing here, and he said, "I will do whatever you want, what would you like me to do for you?" What would you say to him? Or what's the clever clogs? SpaceX, Tesla. Elon Musk, thank you. So if Elon Musk was standing here, he's probably one of the smartest people on the planet. But anyway, if Elon Musk was standing here and he said, "What would you like me to do for you?" What would you say? If Janet was standing here, "Anything you want, I'll do it for you." Janet could do that. You know, what would you say? Well, this is what this Shunammite woman had. She had the opportunity. "What do you want? I'll talk to the king. I'll talk to the army. What is it you need? I'm in a position of power. I'm in a position of influence. I can do anything. What do you want me to do for you?" She said nothing. Why? Because she didn't put her trust in the man of God. Her trust was in God. The reason she housed him was because he was a man of God. The reason she fed him was because he was a man of God. It was God she was honoring. It was God she was magnifying. It was God she was giving to. And if God wanted to give her anything, her faith was that he would do it. So she said, "No, I've got my own house. I've got what I need. I've got everything I need. I don't need you to speak to the king on my behalf." You see, this woman was a praying woman. This woman was a woman whose faith was towards heaven. She was a praying woman. You know that your prayers change everything? Your prayers transform everything. If only you will understand the power of prayer. And so she didn't say anything, but God spoke to the prophet and said, "Call her back. color by. Because God knows what you need and God knows what he wants to give to you. Every season wants to prophesy the word of God to you. But you've got to be willing to listen. And it might be painful in the moment you're in. You might not understand why you're suffering what you're suffering. You might not understand why the relationships have gone bad when you were hoping they'll be good. You might not understand why people have let you down when you trusted them. You might not understand. But you must remember that your life is in God's hands. That you belong to the Lord. That he is with you. That he's looking after you. That he's protecting you. You must remember, Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. You're not on your own. You're not abandoned. And this is important to understand. He is with you every moment of your life. The Lord is with you. And so he knows what you need in the season you're in. He's not deaf to your prayers. He's not blind to your needs. He sees. He knows. But that journey has got to be a journey of faith. That journey has got to be one walking with him until the season is right. Until the moment is ripe when God can bring the blessing out of the dry ground. The ground may be barren, but God will send the rain. The ground may be barren, but God will provide the seed. The ground may be barren, but God will provide the sun to shine on that seed. So that the seed can sprout and grow, so that there can be a harvest in your life. God does not leave you abandoned. And so seasons are appointed by God. And seasons demand that you wear the right clothes for that season. My final point this morning is this. And I could have another 40, but I'll just take one. If you turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 13. And verse 11. Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. And do this understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber. Because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality. One of the things you will realize coming to the West, Hong Kong is the West, but coming to Europe, one of the things you'll realize is that sexual immorality is rampant in Europe. That the mindset in the West is captured by immorality. All kinds of immorality. You know, we are a Bible-believing church. We believe that sex is only for marriage between a man and a woman. Not every church in the West believes this now. Some have been captured by Satan to do Satan's work. But we are a Bible-believing church. And of course, the Bible talks about sexual immorality, sexual uncleanness. I love in America, you know, in America they have There are some of these groups that you have in America, Promise Keepers and different groups, which encourage youngsters to remain pure until they get married. And some of them, they have a little ring and they put it in their finger and they say, I promise to be pure on the day of my wedding. Just wonderful. Men, boys and girls, youngsters, committing themselves to be pure so that on the day of their wedding, they will not be embarrassed or ashamed about themselves. Isn't that wonderful? Maybe one of you will start such a movement here in the UK. Can I have an amen? Amen. It would be wonderful if somebody would start such a movement here in the UK. I mean, we, as a church, we have individuals who are doing some incredible works across the country. Like, for example, Jeremy runs a ministry now which is all over the country. He started here in Reading, started with Jeremy here in Reading. Amazing ministry. And now it's all over the country. We have individuals here who have ministries that touch the nation. Maybe God will raise one of you up to have a ministry that will change the UK. But here, listen to this very carefully. If you segregate yourself, the enemy's already won. Unless you're integrated and you're willing to face into the culture into which you've come and stand in it, you can't change it. You can only change what you stand in. If you separate yourself, as in, that's not me, you can't speak to it, you can't change it, you can't minister to it. And so one of the things for us looking forward is this, that we want to make sure that we're standing in where God wants us to be. Let's carry on reading. Verse 13, let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissensions and jealousy. There's no room for jealousy. There should be no jealousy in the church. And if you feel jealous, deal with it. When I was a young minister, there was another minister I was jealous of because he could sing. When he took the microphone and he began to sing, heaven came down. The anointing was everywhere. A really good friend, his name is Jonathan. Really, you know, and we were on the same team together. And I would have loved to be able to sing, but when I sing, everybody puts their fingers in their ears. And I remember, you know, I knew this is wrong. I should not be jealous. I'm supposed to be a man of God. Why am I jealous? So I spoke to Jonathan. I said, Jonathan, forgive me. He said, why? I said, because whenever you sing, I feel jealous. I wish I could sing. I mean, every so often I ask Fiona, my wife, I say to Fiona, Fiona, listen to this. Is my voice better? She says, no. Keep on practicing. Anyway, I said to Jonathan, I want you to forgive me, I'm jealous. And you know what was amazing to me? He turned around to me and said, well, I want to say, yeah, I want you to forgive me too because I've been jealous. I'm like, what? What are you jealous about with me? What have I got that you could be jealous about? And it's really interesting that jealousy is something in your own heart. It's got nothing to do with anybody else, really. There should be no jealousy. You should rejoice. You know, when Alistair got a Tesla, I said, thank you, Lord, for giving me a Tesla. So I've been asking Alistair for the keys so I can go on and drive with it, but I've not got a key so far. The point is, there should be no jealousy in the church. If it's in your heart, confess it and deal with it. Okay? Rather, and this is important scripture, rather close yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we say that together? Rather close yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's say it one more time. Rather close yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Remember I said at the beginning that every season, you know, it's raining outside now. If you didn't bring a raincoat, you're going to get wet. Just going to the car. Every season demands that you wear the right clothing. winter, summer, spring, autumn. Autumn is very windy, so you want a hoodie to, you want to wrap up, not because it's cold, but because it can be very windy. In this season of your life, God wants you to be clothed with Christ. And we're not talking here just your character. We're not talking just character. You know, when you jump out of a plane, you put on a parachute. Right? Now you put it on. You put on the parachute because you're going to jump out of a plane, and you put your trust in the parachute. You know, you trust that the parachute will carry you. Okay? When the Bible says, clothe yourself with Christ, clothe yourself with Jesus, it's not just about the change of your character. It's that you put your trust in God, that the season you're in, He will carry you through it. God will take you through whatever season you're in. So, from the garden, when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, they didn't wear any clothes. They didn't have to. There was no shame. But when sin came, they tried to clothe themselves, didn't they, with leaves. And then God made clothing for them. God clothed them. They exchanged the glory of God for something less glorious. And God clothed them with animal skins. But initially, God clothed them with His glory. You were made for glory. You were made to be clothed with glory from on high. That's what you were made for. You were made to shine the glory of God in your life. And so Jesus prays in John 17 and says, I've given them the glory you give to me. God wants us clothed with Himself, with Christ Jesus. And so in that, we are told that this is something that's so important. Turn to Psalm 30. I'm writing a book. I've written a book. I'm just going through it at the editing phase at the moment. God wants us clothed with Christ. Why? Well, for many reasons. But one of them is our emotional well-being. In this season that we're going into, I'll post a video. I've done a video for how to cope with this season we're moving into, with the economic crisis and everything else that's coming. So I've done a little video for, and I'll post it in the group. But one of the things that God wants to do for us in this season that we're going into is he wants our emotional well-being to be taken care of. It says here in the Psalm 30, you turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. Emotional well-being. Yes, sackcloth is a symbol of mourning, of brokenness, of depression, of wailing, of tears, sackcloth. But God wants to turn your depression, your mourning, your wailing, your tears. He wants to replace it with emotional well-being. He wants to heal your heart. You turn my wailing into dancing. I mean, I will be amazed the first day I see everybody in this church dancing everywhere. Wouldn't that be wonderful? That when the worship team come up to play worship, you're all dancing. Wouldn't that be great? I think it'd be amazing. You know, wouldn't it be wonderful if when the worship team when you were playing your piano, suddenly everybody started dancing? Yes, yes, yes. Now, don't tell me they don't dance in Hong Kong. Of course they do. And so when we're clothed with Christ, God is able to do a deeper work within us than perhaps He's able to do when we give way to the flesh, when we allow the flesh to control us. This season you're moving into, you need to be properly dressed. Clothe yourself. Not just external, what you look like on the outside, but putting on Christ. Putting on Christ. Now, when you got baptized, something significant happened in your waters of baptism by which you were circumcised from the old nature. But you know, when you came from the waters of baptism, you're having been baptized into a death, you're raised to a new life. The new life needs new attire. I went a couple of weeks ago, if you get a chance to come close to me, you'll see my new shoes. These are new shoes. Just let me just... They're really cool. And Doc Martens, okay? Doc Martens. Yeah, you want a pair? Really cool. And, you know, and I was thinking, my old Doc Martens are dead. They're like, things broken. I said to Fiona, I said, Fiona, can I, because I always ask my wife permission. It's our money. It's not just my money. So it's our money. Yeah? And so I was asking my wife permission. I said, she said, yes, get yourself. I said, okay. I said, because I know she's generous, I bought two. She didn't even complain. When she saw them, she said, you've got good taste. When your wife goes out to buy three pairs of shoes, don't complain. Somebody say amen. And can we just say it together? It's our money. Can we say that together? It's our money. Look at your husband or your wife and just say, it's our money. Amen? It's the wife's money. Oh, thank you, Lord. And so I just want to encourage the church. We're going into a new season. And only Jesus will make it work for you. You still have challenges. You still have difficulties. But you need the word of the Lord. You need God to speak to you. How will he speak to you? He'll speak to you in the place of faithfulness. He'll speak to you in the place of worship. He'll speak to you in the place of prayer. He'll speak to you when you're serving your husband or serving your wife, when you're faithful to your marriage vows. He'll speak to you. He'll speak to you when you're looking after your children, serving them. He'll speak to you through the tears, through the rain. He'll speak to you. If you keep on walking with Christ, close yourself with Jesus. At some point in the season you find yourself in, the word of God will come to you. And it will be miraculous. It will be supernatural. Because we serve a supernatural God. He'll do things that are impossible to do. Like give a man who can no longer sire children the ability to sire children. He'll do the impossible for you. Why? Because he's faithful God. And the Bible tells us that we can never outgive God. It doesn't matter what you give to him. God is no man's debtor. But it's not about the transaction. It's about the relationship. It's not about I give so I get. It's about I love and I receive his love back. I love him. And so he's able to release his grace in my life. Let's bow our heads in prayer. I'm going to ask Wilson to come up and to lead us in a time of prayer. Come on up, Wilson. Is that okay? And just to turn this back to God in prayer and maybe pray a few prayers over us all before you hand back to Janet. Thank you.
Pray in Chinese. Let me pray in Chinese. My wife translate. Hong Wa. Can I? Yes.
Dear Jesus Christ,
我们多谢你,
we thank you.
今早向我们说了非常明亮的说话,
you talk to us this morning.
你告诉我们，原来我们人生都在你的手里面。
You told us that our life is in your hands.
我们经历不同的季节，是有你的安排。
We experience different seasons, and that was planned by you, determined by you.
我们能够来到英国生活，都是你的恩典。
And we can come to live in UK, and it is the grace from you.
让我们好像刚才的信息所讲，我们不是说要给多少神，乃是我们要爱我们的神。
Just like the message we have just heard, it's not a matter that we, how much we can give to God, but we have to love God.
当我们毫无保留的来爱我们的神，愿意不住的来去奉献的时候，神就会供应我们的需要。
Whenever we love you wholeheartedly, you will surprise us and endlessly,
abundantly. 你会在任何的时刻向我们来说话，求主给我们有敏锐的心，聆听的耳朵。
You will talk to us in every moment, help us to have sharp ears and humble hearts.
以致我们能够与主同行，
so that we can walk with you，
能够荣耀神、侍奉神，在神家里面一同的彼此服侍，
to glorify you and serve you and serve each other wholeheartedly。
求你来赐福祝福这个教会，让我们能够彼此切实相爱，一同的来荣耀你的名。
Please bless this church so that we can love one another and we can glorify youGlorify your name.
奉主耶稣基督宝贵的名祷告。
We pray in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.